So this is Stewardship Sunday, and we have in the past given more and sometimes less attention to stewardship. There have been occasions in the past where we had three Sundays of stewardship, which was, I think, a bit too much. And for the last couple of years, we have done it here in the Sunday School Hour, addressing the issue of stewardship. And there is a text. Ta-da! There is a text that the stewardship committee, nod if it comes up on the screen, and it's Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, the stewardship committee set this verse as their text, their theme text for 2023-2024 stewardship season. And I couldn't think of a better text. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There are other similar things that Jesus said. Matthew 10:8. You received without paying, give without pay. And Luke 16:10 through 12. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Now, John Piper, in his retirement, has been producing very large books. Some of you have read his book on Providence, which came out maybe 2 years ago, 18 months ago. And just a couple of weeks ago, another hardback book by John Piper, large book, All That Jesus Commanded. And it looks at all the commands that Jesus makes. He sorts them out in the Gospels and makes a comment about them. And it's written at a level that all of us could easily read. I recommend it. It's a wonderful book. And it's a good book, very good book, because Sinclair Ferguson says it's a good book. Because he endorses it on the back cover. And commenting on this particular text in Matthew 6, he says, the more, and this is a very Piper, is Josh Squires here? Oh, I've called him out. This is a very John Piper statement. The more sacrificially generous you are on earth, the greater will be your enjoyment of heaven. That's a very John Piper statement to make. That the more sacrificially generous you are here on earth, the more will be your enjoyment of heaven. Now, the measure of a gift is not its size, but its sacrifice. Jesus made that point, you remember, when he was at the temple and he was pointing out to the disciples the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and all of their legalistic scruples. And he saw a woman, a poor widow, and she put in 2 copper coins, which made a penny, and she tossed it in the offering bowl outside the temple. And he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor woman has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, of her poverty, has put in everything she had. All she had to live on." And Jesus saw that and pointed out that that woman had given more than anybody else, because she didn't give of her abundance. She gave what she had. So the point of that story is, it's not the size of the gift, but the sacrifice of it. Now, we are very, very generous people here. This is the one time in the year when we talk about money, and the only time, unless it comes up in the text that we're preaching on. So this is not a church that's always asking for money. I've been in a church that in December, there were hard, cold calls because the budget was $2 million short and there were 2 weeks to go. I've been in a church where somebody was on duty at 5 to midnight on New Year's Eve to receive gifts that could be credited to that year, last minute, in desperation. But not here. In the 10 years that I've been senior minister, we haven't had a single year where we've had to call people and say, "We're under budget. We're significantly under budget." And that means that the folk of First Presbyterian Church in Colombia, they love Jesus. And they're givers. And it's a substantial budget. This coming year, the budget will be almost $8 million. That's a lot of money. Last year's budget was increased from roughly 7.1 million to 7.9 million. It was increased by $800,000. I was there. Some of you were elders, were there when we talked about that. And what could we cut? And there was an elder who stood up and said, we don't need to cut anything. We just need to believe that God will provide. Now, if we did that every year, we would be in the Henderson camp. Unrealistic expectations. But this year, we're on track. They tell me in the office that as of now, we are right on track to meet that budget. That's wonderful. I can finish here. We can have some coffee. We can watch the movie again. And go home. According to Randy Alcorn, he's the guy who wrote that wonderful book on heaven that many of you have read, 15% of everything Christ said relates to money. More than his teaching on heaven and hell combined. Now, I haven't done the arithmetic to verify that that is so, but Randy Alcorn is a well-known and respected author, so I'm going to take him at his word, that 15% of everything Jesus said was about money, wealth, possessions, about stewardship. So let's spend a moment and refresh our memories about what Jesus actually said. Just a few verses. "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:33. Renounce all that he has. Now be careful what Jesus is saying or what he's not saying. But what he's saying is that you don't own anything, but you're a steward of what you've got. You're a steward of God's provision for you. And when you're thinking about giving, that's what we need to think about. Giving 10% of your income is difficult if you've never done it. And maybe if you've never done it, you need to start incrementally and build up year after year until you don't miss it anymore. Luke 18:25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now again, you need to be careful. Jesus often speaks in very blunt terms. He's not saying that rich people don't go to heaven. Abraham was a rich man. Job initially was a rich man. And the most saintly person on earth, God said. But if you live for riches, you lie in bed thinking of ways that you can get more and more and more. And that's all that you do. And you don't have that God-centered perspective. Then it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It's hyperbole. Think of trying to thread a piece of cotton. And you have to get out the magnifying glass, and you have to get that little gadget that you push through and pull it. I've done some sewing in my time. In a hotel. When you get that little packet of threads and buttons and stuff, and you know, a button has come off my shirt, or we won't go there, but I know what it is to thread a needle. And it gets harder and harder, and you, if you don't have that little gadget, you lick it and you try and push it through, and it's hard. But think about getting a camel. One hump or two. Luke 12:15, one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. People who just live for stuff. Do you think people in Hollywood are happy? Just read social media. Do you think Harry and Meghan are happy? What a sad depiction of life without God. In a color movie. Every day there's a headline about Harry and Meghan and how they can make more money. And trash their families, and they're unhappy. And I've stopped reading it. I just look at the headline and I think that's life without God right there. You can live in Hollywood. You can live next door to Oprah. Anybody want to live next door to Oprah? No, I don't think so. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Luke 19. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house." That's very interesting that the mark of Zacchaeus' true discipleship was his willingness to give. That he was willing to forgo his riches. And that was the mark of his discipleship, that he was a true disciple. Now, these are just a sample. Why all this emphasis? Because of the principle that's laid down in our theme verse, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I've told this story many times, and I'm at the age where you can forgive me for repeating myself. I'm in my dotage. But when my grandfather, the one I mentioned in the sermon this morning, on my mother's side, he died when I was 5. He fought in France in the First World War, was gassed, he was an officer. And I have a picture of him on my desk in military uniform. And he had chest problems all his life, and eventually had lung cancer. And he was in hospital for a very long time, and then came home, and he knew he was dying. And we knew he was dying. And I was a 5-year-old. And he brought all 4 of his grandchildren into the living room where his bed was, separately, to talk to us. This was 2-3 days before he died. And I'm 5. And he had a gift for each one of the children, his grandchildren. And he gave me a green Parker fountain pen and told me to write a book. So the first book I wrote, I dedicated to him. He was bohemian in his taste for arts and stuff, and he loved classical music. And he liked the very best of classical music. And he had a record collection, and we're talking about LPs now. So anybody under 50 doesn't know what we're talking about here, but we're talking about LPs this size, and he had a stereo record player that in the 1950s, and we're talking about 1958, was kind of state of the art. He didn't have a lot of money, but he bought this very good stereo record player, and he would put a record on, and he would send my 2 brothers and sister out to the garden, because they weren't interested. And he sent his wife into the kitchen because she had the annoying habit of talking while the music was on. And I would sit in his lap and I was taken away. And before he died, after he'd given me the fountain pen, he said, "I'm going to give you all of my records, but I've told Nana not to give them to you until you're 15. So on my 15th birthday, Nana, my grandmother, gave me his record collection of several hundred LPs. And I was obsessed with them. So when I got saved at 18, I came into contact with a man, I don't know who he was or where he came from. Looking back, he was weird. At the time, I didn't have enough discernment about what weird looks like. And he discipled me for 3 or 4 months. And he said to me one day, "If you really want to follow Jesus, you need to get rid of those LPs." So I did. I took them to a store the next day and sold them for £10 or something. And then 2-3 weeks later, I really regretted, mainly because my mother had a hissy fit, because they were her father's LPs. And I went back to the store and they were gone. What he should have said was, "Put those LPs in a cupboard for 6 months, and then come back to them, and they'll have a different place in your life." That would have been good advice. But the advice he gave to me was, get rid of them all. Because he believed that I wasn't fully on board about where my heart is. And there your treasure will be also. Let's talk money. Just for a minute. This is a very generous church, as I've said. You gave $250,000 for a church in Aberdeen that you've never seen, simply because Sinclair Ferguson is there. And that was enough. And I kept texting Sinclair back and forth around about Easter and said, you know, it's 180, it's 200, it's 220. A member came up to me and said, what's the shortfall? And I said, 25,000. And he wrote a check there and then. It ended up around about 280. I'm not sure there are many churches in North America that could do that. David Gibson, the minister of the church in Aberdeen, is coming here in November to preach. I asked him to come over. I said, I want you to thank these people personally. He wrote a letter and I said, thank you for the letter, but I need you here in person so that they can look you in the eye and pray for you and this ministry in Aberdeen. Let me give you some statistics, and I'll be very brief on this. As I said, the budget in 2022 was 7.1 million, and this year's budget was 7.9 million, an increase of 800,000. That's for this year. And as I said earlier, we're on board. As of the end of July, is Brad Martin here? Would you stand if you're here? He was in church. He's probably doing something because he's now the director of finance and operations. Paul Kent went north to Clemson, where his heart is and treasure is. And we thank him for the ministry that he did. But personnel have just employed Brad Martin, one of our own. And he's going to be excellent. But he told me this week that as of today, we are on board for meeting that budget, an increase of 800,000. That's thank you. Here are some more difficult stats. Half of those that give to the church make a pledge. Now, why is pledging important? Well, we need to know how much we are likely to get. We want realistic expectations. And if you don't pledge, and there are lots of reasons why people don't pledge, because their salary changes from year to year, they're in sales and stuff, so they don't know how much they're going to make. Of the 1,083 total giving units. Now, what is a giving unit? A giving unit can be one person, a bachelor. It can be two people, husband and wife. It can be a family of six or eight. But it's one giving unit. And as of now, we have 1,083 giving units. Only 545 made a pledge. And that makes it hard for the stewardship committee to make realistic expectations. So think about pledging. Pray about it. Talk to your significant other. The pledged giving amount for 2023, this year, represents 63% of the total budget. So the 37% that's not pledged is a guess. It's a guesstimate from past trends that, yes, we are likely to make that in unpledged giving. Well, that's all I'm going to say about money. Let's talk
talent and time. First Pres has 372 children from birth through fifth grade. Do you want me to read that again? 372 children from birth to fifth grade. That's a lot of children. Are you wondering about the future of First Pres? If the search committee gets it right and gets the right man, other than that, the future of this church are the children, our covenant children. Many of them will stay here because it's South Carolina. Some of the daughters will go off to college and then they'll meet some good-looking young man and they'll get married and they'll have to go away for a few years. Doctors will have to do their fellowships in different cities. But Mama will say to her daughter, "You're coming back. You can go for 4 years or 5 years, but you're coming back. Because it's South Carolina." So the future of our church lies in those 372 children. That's just up to fifth grade. What that actually means is that our Sunday school classes are full. They're overfull. When you built that building, it has three floors. If we could go back in time, there was a discussion about a fourth floor. It seemed an unrealistic expectation at the time to pay for. Now we could use it for sure. We have a space problem here at First Pres. If all our members attended, we don't have room for them. Our first service was full. I'm expecting the 11:15 service to be full. But if all of our members came, we don't have room to house them. And at the minute, Sunday school is a problem. And we need volunteers. There are activities that we haven't done in several years because we don't have the manpower necessary to do it. We need folk who know something about music to go into these Sunday school class and for 10 minutes teach them so that perhaps we can put on a program. But unless we have those volunteers, the children's department tell me in no uncertain terms, we can't do it. Do you want those children's programs? I do. Those pageants that we haven't had? And maybe you think, well, that's a COVID thing. No, it's not a COVID thing. It's a volunteer thing. 10 minutes of your time during Sunday school. If you are willing, as you think about it and pray about it and talk about it, give Hannah Lampman a call. Send her an email, say, and say, "I can do this. I'll give you 10 minutes. Out of this Sunday school music time comes the children's Christmas program. I loved that. It was a little pageant. Parents loved it. They took pictures. And when their children were 17 and 18, they showed them the pictures. And they were dressed up as a donkey or a camel. And it was something that we did, but we haven't done in a number of years because we need volunteers. We need volunteers in many areas. Because we are a church that's wealthy, we tend to say, if there is a need, hire someone. We need Sunday school teachers. We have wonderful Sunday school teachers. We have Sunday school teachers who are better than some of our preachers, including me. They're very, very talented. But they tend to be older. Let me be careful here. And we need to raise up younger Sunday school teachers who will be the Sunday school teachers of tomorrow. But it'll be a sacrifice of talent and time. There are many things that this church does that requires volunteers. The Green Apron folk. That's a wonderful ministry. When we have events here that require hundreds of people, sometimes 1,000 people, and we have folk, and some of them are elders, and some of them are deacons. And this is how they minister to the church. Did I say something bad? Think about that. That's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. The text, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is my treasure. The altogether lovely one and fairer than 10,000. That's where your heart is, because that's where your treasure is. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the generosity of our brothers and sisters that enable us to worship and do ministry in the way that we do. We pray for this upcoming fall in children's ministry and college ministry that will restart in a few days, and young professionals ministry and discipleship ministry, music ministry, sports ministry, our ministry to our seniors that has taken on new energy in the last few years. And pray for all of it. And our Sunday school classes as they begin next week, that there might be a sense of energy and enthusiasm and a sense of direction. And we ask it for the sake of the Lord Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.